This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Twisted by Laurie Haltz Anderson. Read for you by Mike Chamberlain. 1. I spent the last Friday of summer vacation spreading hot, sticky tar across the roof of George Washington High. My companions were Dopey, Toothless, and Joe, the brain surgeons in charge of building maintenance. At least they were getting paid. I was working 40 feet above the ground, breathing in sulfur fumes from Satan's vomitorium for free. Character building, my father said. Mandatory community service, the judge said. Court-ordered restitution for the foul deed. He nailed me with the bill for the damage I had done, which meant I had to sell my car and bust my hump at a landscaping company all summer. Oh, and he gave me 6 months of meetings with a probation officer who thought I was a waste of human flesh. Still, it was better than jail. I pushed the mop back and forth, trying to coat the seams evenly. We didn't want any rain getting into the building and destroying the classrooms. Didn't want to hurt the school. No, sir, we sure didn't. Joe wandered over, looked at my work, and grunted. "We done yet?" asked Dopey. "Thunderstorm's rolling in soon. Heavy weather." I looked up. There were no clouds in the sky. Joe nodded slowly, studying the roof. "Yeah, we're done." He turned off the motor on the tar kettle. "Last day for Tyler here. Bet you're glad to be quit of us, huh, kid?" "Nah," I lied. "You guys have been great." Dopey cackled. "If the sewer pipes back up again, we'll get you out of class." There had been a few advantages to working with these guys. They taught me how to steal soda out of the vending machines. I snagged a couple of keys when they weren't looking. Best of all, the hard labor had turned me from nerd boy into Tyler the Amazing Hulk, with ripped muscles and enough testosterone to power a nuclear generator. "Hey, get a load of this!" Toothless shouted. We picked our way around the fresh tar patches and looked where he was pointing, 4 stories down. I stayed away from the edge. I wasn't so good at heights. But then I saw them. Angels with ponytails gathered in the parking lot. The girls' tennis team, wearing bikini tops and short shorts. Wearing wet bikini tops and wet short shorts. I inched closer. It was a car wash, with vehicles lined up all the way out to the road, mostly driven by guys. Barely clad girls were bending, stretching, soaping up, scrubbing, and squealing. They were squirting each other with hoses. And squealing. Did I mention that? "Take me now, Lord," Toothless muttered. The marching band was practicing in the teacher's lot. They fired up their version of Louie Louie. Finely toned tennis angel butts bounced back and forth to the beat. Then a goddess rose up from the hubcap of a white Ford Explorer. Bethany Milbury. The driver of the Explorer said something. Bethany smiled and blew at the soap suds in her hands so bubbles floated through the air and landed on his nose. The driver melted into a puddle on the front seat. Bethany threw back her head and laughed. The sun flashed off her teeth. Joe's tongue dropped out of his mouth and sizzled on the hot roof. Dopey took off his glasses, rubbed them on a corner of his shirt, and put them back on. Toothless adjusted himself. Bethany bounced along to the next car in line, a dark green Avenger that was burning oil. "Bethany Milbury pushes me against the hood of my cherry red, turbocharged Testarossa. I love fast cars," she whispers, soapy fingers in my hair. "This is the fastest," I say. "I've been waiting so long for you, Tyler." Her head tilts, her lips open. "I am so ready for this." She grabs my arm and snarls, Be careful, dummy. You'll break your neck.
No. Wait. I blinked. I was on a hot tar roof with three smelly grown men. Joe was gripping my arm, yanking me back from the edge. I said, "Be careful, dummy. That first step is a doozy."
"Sorry," I said.
"I mean, thanks."
A navy blue 1995 Mercedes S500 sedan rolled into the parking lot. It came to a complete stop. Left blinker flashing, it turned and parked in front of the building. A man in a black suit got out of the driver's seat, stood next to the car, looked up at me, and tapped the face of his watch once, twice, three times. I had inconvenienced him again. Dopey, Toothless, and Joe crawled out of sight. They had seen my father detonate before.
2. On the public humiliation scale, being picked up in Dad's car was better than being picked up in Mom's. Yes, it had a couple of rust spots and 162,000 miles on it, but at least it was a Benz. Mom drove an ancient Suburban, beige, dented from encounters with mailboxes and trees. If I had my own car back, that would have been the best. When I came out the front door, he pointed to the trunk, gaping open. I stripped off my sweatshirt, boots, and wet socks, and dumped them in a cardboard box stuck in a nest of investment brochures and bungee cords. I left my jeans on. Even Dad knew it would not be cool to strip down to my boxers in front of the school.
"Hurry up," he called.
I sat on the beach towel laid on the back seat. Wouldn't want to mess up the leather. His cell phone rang. His lip curled slightly when he saw the number on the screen. He answered the phone.
"What is it now?"
"Meet my father, Corporate Tool." He'd always been a hard ass. But since his latest promotion, he dialed it up.
"That's not my problem," he told the phone. "It's yours. Solve it."
Mom stared at him from the passenger seat, then sighed deeply. It was Friday afternoon, which meant they had just come from their therapy session. They were recovering the joy in their relationship.
"Hi, Mom," I said.
She looked back and gave me a little wave. Her smile was fake. Like a piece of paper with a smile drawn on it, had been glued to her face. As I buckled my seatbelt, Dad ended his call and started the engine. "I still don't know why you insist on picking him up every day," he told Mom. "It wouldn't kill him to ride his bike." Mom's smile fell off. She blinked hard and studied the dust on the dashboard. "Meet my mother. Pet photographer. Cake baker. Nice lady who smells faintly of gin." Dad put the car in reverse and glanced at me in the mirror.
"We have an office barbecue tonight," he said. "I suppose it's too late for you to get a haircut before then."
I shook my bangs in front of my eyes.
"I don't want to go."
"I expect you and your sister to be ready by 7 o'clock.
"I have plans," I said, which was not exactly true, but sounded good.
"Change them." Dad looked beyond me.
"Damn it."
We were blocked in by the cars lined up to be washed. Dad shifted back into park and turned off the engine.
"Don't want to waste gas," he muttered.
His phone rang again. He answered it without a word, listened for a moment, then launched into a rant about federal regulations and inter-office memos. Mom rolled down her window and waved at one of the tennis players soaping up a Volvo. She waved at Bethany Milbury.
"The Bethany Milbury."
Bethany waved back. I thought the tar fumes had made me delusional. She'd been in my homeroom since 7th grade. She'd had the starring role in most of my fantasies since then, too. But this was real. Bethany Milbury, holy goddess of hotness, floated towards our car. She put her clean hands with their perfect fingernails on my mother's door and leaned forward, straining the top of her bikini to the max.
Hey, Tyler, Bethany said to me. I had this weird rushing noise in my ears. My jeans tightened near the zipper.
Ha, I said.
Hey, ha.
Idiot, moron, cretin, fool.
Mom said something about the party. Bethany looked surprised for a second, but then Mom mentioned pasta salad, and I stopped listening because a drop of water slipped from Bethany's collarbone to her cleavage. I leaned forward for a better view of the water crawling, millimeter by millimeter, down the golden, soft canyon of her...
Ow!
Both Mom and Bethany stopped talking to stare at me.
Did you hit your head, Tyler? Mom asked. Are you okay? Bethany asked.
Ha ha, I said.
As we pulled out of the parking lot, I pressed my face against the back window to watch her walk away. Bethany was the alpha female of George Washington High, the most beautiful, the most popular, the queen bee. She was also the daughter of my dad's boss and the sister of the guy who had been making my life hell for years. And me? I was a zit on the butt of the student body. I had a screwed-up past and no visible future. My chances of hooking up with anything female, much less Bethany, were small. But anything was possible on the last Friday of summer vacation. 3. The Milburys lived in the Hampton Club in Estates, 10 blocks and 50 million miles away from our house. It was close enough to walk to, and far enough that we should have chartered a jet. My parents were struggling wannabes of the upper middle class. The Milburys were the people they wanted to be. I can't believe you're making us do this, Hannah bitched as we pulled out of our driveway at precisely 7 p.m. Why can't we stay home? Mom balanced a 2-gallon plastic bowl of pasta salad in her lap. Don't whine.
I'm not whining.
Dad slowed down to go around a pothole. You're whining about not whining.
How can you say that? Hannah asked.
In English, Dad said. So you should be able to understand it.
Enough, Mom said. We're going to a party. Can't we have some fun?
Dad cleared his throat. This is not a party, he corrected. It is a business function. We're going to put in a family appearance. I need 10 minutes of FaceTime with Bryce, and then we can leave. I expect everyone to be on their best behavior. His eyes found mine in the rearview mirror, including you. Dad liked to pretend I was a dangerous criminal because of the foul deed. But it was just a stupid prank. I mean, all pranks are stupid, but that's kind of the point, isn't it? The last time anybody had noticed me, in a good way, was in third grade when I won the home run contest during field day. After that, my reputation struck out every time. I was the shortest guy in middle school and too chicken to hit back. I had victim tattooed on my forehead. It got a little better in high school. I became invisible. Your average piece of drywall who spent too much time playing computer games. Girls would look straight at me and never see the writhing masculine beast hidden inside my 135 pounds of veal white man flesh. So at the end of my junior year, I decided to do something bold. A prank that would turn me into a legend. At 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday, May 1st, I used 5 cans of spray paint to decorate George Washington High with words that proclaimed the superiority of the junior class and a couple crude remarks about the manhood of Principal Hughes. I misspelled phenomenal and testicle. I also forgot one of the cans, the red one. And I was so flustered, trying to finish before the sun came up, that I didn't notice my wallet was missing until the police arrived on our front porch. Best behavior, Dad repeated. Be an asset, not a liability. Hannah made a face at the back of his pointy head. I stared at him in the mirror until he looked away. 4. The Milbury's house was what you'd expect. monstrously big and slightly tacky.
"It's gorgeous," Mom said. "So tasteful. What a beautiful fountain."
Dad muttered something under his breath. He wiped the sweat off his forehead with the back of his hand. Wisps of barbecue smoke and jazz drifted from the backyard. We came to a screeching halt as we rounded the corner of the house.
"Whoa," Hannah said.
"Yeah." A massive swimming pool, complete with hot tub and waterfall, took up a third of the yard and was ringed with a broad patio and burning tiki torches. A jazz quartet was playing at the far end, close to the bar. Right in front of us were two tented pavilions, one for food and one filled with tables and chairs. A pig was roasting on a giant spit, and a cook was slapping down hamburgers on a grill. Waiters buzzed around with trays of snack food, glasses of wine, and imported beer in dark bottles. The golf course, a Hampton Estates perk, stretched out beyond the Rose Garden. The place was packed. People standing, sitting, eating, drinking, dancing, flirting, frowning, laughing, practicing pretend golf swings, and watching each other. It was mostly adults, but the hot tub was filled with half of the lacrosse team, and a couple other kids from school were scattered around the patio. The rich kids, the really rich kids. You know what they look like. Mom yanked Dad out of view.
"How could you do this to me?" she hissed. "This isn't casual, and it is absolutely not potluck."
Dad frowned. "The memo said casual. Casual means potluck. Everybody knows that."
"Memo?"
Mom's voice went up.
"What memo? You said Bryce invited you personally."
"Be quiet," Dad said. "Here comes Doreen." Mom handed the pasta salad to Hannah, who turned and handed it to me.
"Get rid of it," Mom whispered.
I bent down and stuck the bowl behind a bush. When I stood up, Bethany and her mom were talking to my parents. Bethany was wearing a long Hawaiian skirt thing tied around her hips and a see-through lace shirt over her bikini top. The peanut butter-colored cat she was carrying obstructed my view. Mrs. Milbury was an older and thinner version of her daughter, with a tan that made her skin look like a tired leather sofa and very large, very white teeth. Mrs. Milbury gave me the once-over.
"My goodness, Tyler," she said. "You used to be 4 foot nothing and skinny as a beanpole. You certainly have grown up."
"He's 6'3 and 195, Mom said. "Growing taller every day, like a cornstalk." Hannah snorted.
"Ah," I said, cringing.
"Ha." Dad tapped his foot and waited a suave 2 seconds before he blurted out, "So, where's Bryce?" 5. Bryce Milbury, CEO of Milbury Brothers Trust. Trust Milbury Trust. Was the tall man with the perfect tan and fat gold watch motioning to Mrs. Milbury from the far side of the pool. 3 shorter guys were grouped behind him, all wearing lime green golf shirts with the company logo. As we walked up, his son Chip did, too. Chip Milbury, Bethany's evil twin brother, 4-year lacrosse starter, fairly good offensive linebacker, and all-American jerk who majored in beating the crap out of me in middle school. We did more of the fake polite handshaking thing. Mr. Milbury held on to Dad's hand an extra moment. "Surprised to see you here, Bill," he said. "Didn't know your department was coming." The short dweeb guys looked at each other. I knew in the pit of my stomach that Dad had screwed up. You didn't crash parties in Hampton Estates, even if you were the new vice president of oversight and compliance. Not cool. Dad gripped his boss's hand harder. "You know me, Bryce. Always looking out for the company's best interests."
"Yeah," he said that.
"So, nerd boy." Chip punched me in the shoulder. Hard. "They let you work out in prison?"
"Tyler didn't go to prison."
Mom shut her mouth when Dad shook his head once.
Mr. Milbury looked me over.
You playing football, Tyler?
No, sir, I said. I've just been working.
Part of his parole, Chip said.
My job, I said slowly. I work at Pirelli's Landscaping.